Hello, everyone. It's Jenny's Tattle Tales, and I am Jenny Heckman. I am the award-winning paranormal romance author of the Heaven and Earth series, and this is my video blog slash podcast where we talk about all things writing. We talk about authors new and old, and we talk about their work as well as lifestyle. So I wanted to welcome you here today, and thank you so much for joining me. Hello, everyone. It's Jenny Heckman here, and you are in Jenny's Tattle Tales. And today we have the very wonderful D.V. Stone, a romantic suspense suite writer. Her series is the Impact series. And today we're going to be talking about Rock House, which is book one. And I understand book two is on its way. It's at the editor now. Welcome, D.V.
Hi, how are you? I'm so happy to be here.
I'm great. So I didn't even say Andrea's here with us too. So we're both going to be doing our little questions. And I guess the first question I have for you is, tell us about book one.
Okay, so Rock House Grill is book one. It's called the Impact Series, and it's about the impacts that people have on other people in their lives. Literally in Rock House, there was an impact of an automobile accident. So what happened was a couple of years ago, I did the NaNoWriMo challenge. That's a National Novel Writing Month, and 50,000 words, 30 days, get it done, right? So what are you going to do? Write what you know. And I used to be an EMT. My husband was a corrections officer and a fireman, so we were kind of familiar with the whole first responder stuff, as well as having a small restaurant and a coffee shop and things like that. So it's a mashup of those where there's the two main characters, Aiden and Shay, and Aiden is a restaurant owner, and Shay is an EMT. She's also a hostess in a restaurant, but she's always dreamed of being a chef. And Aiden is in a terrible accident, gets hurt. Shay is the EMT who responds to the scene, and then through a series of events ends up at Rock House, not knowing that that was Aiden's restaurant. And so it kind of takes you through. And the funny thing, funny looking back, but at the time that I was writing about Aiden and his rehabilitation of his legs, my husband had a serious accident, and he was going through the same physical therapies that Aiden was going through.
Oh,
so talking about
hands-on
research.
That's a great, that must have been so inspiring to be able to write, like you said, write what you know, and that it's a really interesting premise. I like that.
Yeah, so, and I also, I'm a big fan of music of all different genres. So Rock House deals with a lot of the music in the restaurant and a lot of references to classical rock. Jazz House, which is going to be the second book in the series, deals with jazz and blues. And then I'm milling the third book to put into my country repertoire of called Honky Tonk House.
So the House family. I love that.
So the House family is Aiden House and his twin sister Olivia House. So that's the House follow through with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great premise. I love that. And you said book two is in editing right now, right?
Correct. I got my first round of edits back. It's going back shortly, and you know, hopefully soon. You never know.
Yeah. It does that. I think a lot of readers don't understand that you write the book, and that might take you, you know, three, 6 months, however long, taking me forever on my third one. But they don't understand that it does take just such a shorter time to write the book, and then the editing thing can last almost a year. I mean, it can be a very long process. So I always thought that was, well, when I learned that, I was just like, wow, I had no idea so much went into the back end of a book. So really,
people ask me all the time, they how long does it take you to write a book? I'm like, well, Rock House, 30 days.
Yeah. That's a great month.
But it took 3 years to get it.
I've never been brave enough to try to get the book done for NaNoWriMo, but it would be a fun challenge for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of stressful because at the time I worked full time as well. I retired about a month ago, so I'm like, yay, I can say I'm a full time author now.
Oh, that's so fabulous! That's so great.
So, yeah. So,
and where do you live? It looks like it's sunny there. Or it looks very bright.
I live in northern New Jersey. Yes, it's up in the northwest corner where New York, Pennsylvania and New Jersey meet. It's very humid. It's about 90 degrees right now. But we live kind of buried in the woods. The Appalachian Trail is about a quarter of a mile that way.
Oh, wow. It must be beautiful where you live.
It is beautiful. We have a lake in our front yard. The house that I'm in is the house my my husband grew up in. His dad built it when he got out of World War II.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then Pete bought it from his parents when his parents moved to Virginia. Then we got married and we have a kind of a rolling renovation thing going on.
As all houses are, right? I mean, it seems like all houses are in a perpetual state of renovation.
Yep. So it's an old lake house. So there's multiple levels and, you know, and of course it gets damp and humid. So there's always keeping up with that kind of stuff.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I have a ring of a mosquito bites around my ankles right now. It looks like a perfect ring.
Yeah. So did you get that back? Yeah. Well, we don't, I have our latest thing that we did, we had a Four Seasons greenhouse on the front of where our deck is. We had to tear that down. It was kind of falling apart, but we put up a gazebo and the gazebo has the netting that goes around it.
So
we're pretty good with that. But we just returned from Assateague Island down in Virginia. That's where the wild ponies are. We were camping down on Chincoteague. Well, the mosquitoes are like the state bird down there. We were so bitten up. It was just crazy. I had stuff on me, but on my back through my shirt, all I was a band of mosquito bites.
Oh, it's terrible. They're terrible creatures.
I don't understand the need for them.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. Okay, so we're only on question number one. what behind the scenes tidbit in your life would you probably surprise your readers most?
As far as being a writer,
what behind the scenes tidbit in your life would probably surprise your readers the most about you?
I have absolutely no sense of humor. No.
I don't think so.
Well, let's see. I'm a camper or a glamper. And I love playing dominoes. We were out last night. It was a school night. I'm retired now, so every night is like Saturday. So we were playing dominoes with friends. A big gamer, and I'm very competitive.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I know, it's funny. I'm married into a family where literally everybody in the family is competitive, and I'm like, I don't care. Just give me a cocktail.
I build in.
Yeah, so you fit in really well over here. Do you have a writing kryptonite?
I tend to get lost on rabbit trails. I have to, when I'm writing, I have to shut down my Google thing because I'll go off on a research tangent and forget it. Hours are gone before I get back to what I was doing. I'm like, I was writing a book. So yeah. So I have to make a conscious effort to stay off of the web because I love research.
Yeah. That happens to me too. Like literally my husband wanted the other night, he wanted to look up something on my computer and he looks at my browser and literally the tabs were so small, you could not even see.
Oh, because it's compact.
Yeah, it's compact. So he like forget about it.
And it can be, the browser history can be a little dangerous when you go in there. I mean, I'm working on Jazz House now. And again, it's a romantic suspense. I mean, I'm looking up the ATF, international crime, drug dealing, you know, so all this stuff is coming up in my browser history. So I told my husband, if the black cars pull up front, it's me.
So we pray that the FBI doesn't knock on your door.
It's totally true. I was looking up What happens if someone gets shot in the abdomen? Does it hurt? What does it feel like when you shoot someone in the abdomen? It was. I mean, if they looked at my browsing history, it would be, you know, so nothing better happened to my husband or I'd be in a lot of trouble.
How to do the perfect murder.
Right. I know. It's bad. It's bad. What was the hardest or most unusual or interesting part of the story for you to research, since you do like to research so much?
One of the most fun things we did is my husband, he's game for pretty much anything. I'm like, let's go, we're going over. I wrote about Rock House takes place in Eastern Pennsylvania. I used to live in Eastern Pennsylvania. So we went on a road trip and we were driving around going to different places where I was picturing scenes and things like that from that area, part of the Delaware Water Gap, Delaware River, the different looks of different restaurants along the river. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that is kind of cool. I like doing that too. I really do like going to places. If you're going to write about them, be authentic with it. Understand where you're at. Understand what, you know, the roads and stuff like that. You know, in Seattle, the biggest thing that when Sleepless in Seattle came out, and, you know, they went from wherever they were at to Alki Beach in a matter of 2 seconds. And everybody in Seattle was like, what the heck is going on here? It's better to have that authenticity and stuff. So I love that. I love it when.
One of the places, it's called Point of the Gap. And that's where Aiden and Shay have their first kiss. Ooh. And, you know, so that I had my husband with me, we're at Point of the Gap. So we did have to do a little research.
Oh yeah. I like that research too. That's fun. Okay, so picture this. You feel uninspired and you've sat at your desk for an hour without conquering any words. How do you get your creativity flowing again?
I call my dog and I say, let's go for a walk. Oh. And yep. So she has a harness, and we call that, as I'm putting on my sneakers, I say to her, Hallie, you have to put on your sneakers too. And that's her harness. Oh. So we put on her harness and off we go. And we take a nice long brisk walk, and sometimes juices get flowing and sometimes it's the next day.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to just bag it for the
day. You have to go back, you know, yeah. And sometimes it's just a matter of, I have a lot of different projects going on at one time.
Yeah.
So also if I'm feeling really dry, I'm not getting anywhere in this book, I'll pull out one of my other manuscripts and, you know, fool around with that for a little while.
Oh, I like that. That's good. How many books do you have going on at one time? Uh-oh. A lot.
I have pieces of about 7 of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm also, I also write fantasy. Okay. And I also write mid-grade. So, you know, I have multiple genres. So if I get really, really tied up in something, I might put it aside for a while and go grab one of my fantasy books or one of my mid-grade books and work on that for a little while.
And is your fantasy book, is it like a, what's the, is it witches? Is it, what's it, shapeshifters?
I call it Lord of the Rings for chicks.
Lord of the Rings for chicks. I like that. That's cool.
So yeah, it's high. I write, it's a big book and I'm struggling with it right now because that's also a series. None of it is out yet. It's all a work in progress, but it's my heart. I constantly go back to that. And it's funny because I always considered myself a fantasy person. I read fantasy. And then when NaNoWriMo came around, suddenly I found myself writing contemporary. And then before you know it, I'm listed as romantic suspense. So yeah. It's like, I read everything. So I might as well write everything.
Right. I like that too. And I think nowadays in this atmosphere, it is a lot easier for writers to be multi-genre, you know, where mm-hmm. before once, I mean, you know, Nora Roberts, she was a romance writer, and then she had to kind of change her name to go to do this other series and, you know, and everything. So it was really hard, I think, back in the day for authors to kind of cross that genre when their audience was so straight and narrow, you know, mm-hmm. their original genre. So I think it's cool.
I agree with you, but also it was easier for herself to make a name in that genre.
Yes, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, she is.
So the
she is Nora Roberts.
Well, yeah, but she's been writing for a long time.
Yeah.
Exactly. How long have you been writing?
I wrote my first book was released in 2017. That was a fantasy. I independently published it and put it out. A lot of things that I shouldn't have done with that. but I've tried writing on and off for a lot of years. Nothing actually ever took. Then about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I got laid off from a job that I really loved. One week I was told that I was the most valuable employee they had because I could work in every department. And the next day, you know, I go in and they're like, okay, your services are no longer required. Economy hit, so you kind of understand it and stuff. So I came home and I got into that depressing funk that people get into. And then, you know, all of a sudden I kicked myself in the butt and I'm like, you've always wanted to write. This is the perfect opportunity. So turn your life around. You can either sit here on the couch and eat your ice cream and stare at a TV, or you can do something productive. And here we are. Now I have 6 books.
I love it. So. That's a great success story. I like that. When you can figure out a way to find get inspiration and move in a different direction. It's brave too. It's very, very brave. You know?
Yeah. And it's hard because you feel like, I think when you work someplace for such a long time and you invest so much time into it and you spend so much time with those people, you figure 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that's more than you spend mostly with your family.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it's like a divorce and you're not even getting visitation rights.
Yeah.
So it's
or
very,
alimony.
I did get a severance, so I can't complain.
That's good.
But you just do what you have to do. You have 2 choices. You can either roll over or you can just get up and go. So, and I'm not a rollover person.
Yeah. I like that a lot. What is your favorite part of writing life?
My favorite part of writing life. I think when I write a scene that affects me so much that all of a sudden I'm going, make myself cry. And then I think, are other people going to feel this way about it? Or am I just weird? But I think when it touches a deep emotional place in me, and I hope that it touches a deep emotional place in someone who's going to read it.
Yeah, I love that when you get that feedback back where they, you know, you have somebody that says that they're mad at you because they stayed up all night reading your book. It's such a compliment. Or if they're talking about, oh, I was just so sad. And why did you do that? You know, and that they're invested in your characters, right? I mean, it's such a high for an author to hear that kind of feedback, for sure. Absolutely.
I think my best feedback was I had somebody, and then they actually wrote it in their review, and it was about Rainbow Sprinkles, which is my novella with the One Scoop or Two series. She said she had to stop reading it and hug the book.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm like,
oh, that's so great. If a reader could do one thing to help their favorite author, what would that be?
Write a review, because you know we live by reviews. Reviews can be really good. I've been very blessed. I haven't had really any bad reviews. I've had a couple of mediocre, but even in bad reviews or mediocre reviews, there's things you can glean from it to learn. If somebody's saying something, it really, especially if more than one person is saying something, then you really need to pay attention to that, because in your head, you have your idea of what it is, but it's your job to translate what's in your head to other people so that they understand it. And if they're not understanding it, or they're like, when you said in Seattle, going from point A to point B is like no, that people know that and they understand that. So you have to get out of your own head, step back, put on your big girl panties and say, you know what, I need to readdress this. I had a in again, in Rainbow Sprinkles, I had sent it out to a critique group, and somebody who I really respected, I was like, oh, she wrote, "You are a better writer than this. What is wrong with you?" Oh. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know what? She was totally right. She was totally on it. And I had changed the whole beginning of the story, and it worked.
Yeah. The best advice I ever got was that, if you have to explain anything, like if someone reads your book and they're like, they say something to you and you have to explain it, you haven't done your job. So somebody shouldn't have, because you can't go to every reader that reads your book and try to explain what happens. So you have to be able to have it understood in your writing. So I thought that was really, really great advice. And critiquing is, it's hard to hear, but most of the time it's very, very beneficial.
It's so funny because when I first started writing, I locked my everything was password protected. I wouldn't even let my husband read it. I'd put everything away so nobody could see anything. And then after about a year or so, I'm like, here, everybody read this. Tell me what you think.
Yeah. So give me feedback.
You need feedback because you can't, because what's in here has to go in here, but then what's here has to go here, and it goes into the book. And if you don't have that, then you don't have a book, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. So my last question is, what would you most like to say to your readers out there?
Oh, what would I like to say? I would like to say that when you read one of D.V. Stone's books, no matter what kind of book it is, that that it takes you out of wherever you are, because so many times we live in a place that the reality is too much. So take a step back, step into my world, and I hope that you get hope and comfort and peace. And that when you get to the end of it, you can go, that was a happily ever after, and I love it.
Oh, well, and actually show your book, because the cover is really kind of cool.
This is.
Isn't that cool? I love it. It's got so much action, so much, you can tell exactly what's going on based off your description of what happened. You can tell what's going on.
Yeah. So there's an ambulance here, and I love the broken glass element and Shay in the, the picture of her. So, the Tina Lynn Stout is my cover designer. And Elf is my editor, and I love her from Wild Rose Press. She's a dear.
Which one's your editor?
Elf. Elf Elder.
Oh, Elf, yep. I love her.
she was just on my blog 2 weeks ago. So,
I love her. Yeah, she's great. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been such a pleasure. I love this forum because you really are able to get to know people in a human way, rather than just words on a page or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so Andrea was actually the one that first got me going with these podcasts and videos and things. And at first I was like, I just don't know that really fits me. I don't know if that's it, but I have really enjoyed this kind of forum. And I think the feedback that I've gotten is that people really like this because they get to see the human behind the words and the books, and writers tend to be a little bit more introverted, and so it's hard to kind of get to know them. And so this has been such a pleasure, DV. And if you'd like to know more about DV Stone and her work, you can go on to dvstoneauthor.com, or you can go on to Jenny's Tattletales, and we will have all of her links and everything on her Tattletales page. And just really thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure. I think one of the things you talk about, stepping into this kind of format is that's maybe one of the things that the pandemic did push along, is that we became much more comfortable with doing the whole video kind of thing. So
I agree. Yeah,
but you guys do a great job. It's what I really appreciate you having me here.
Oh, thank you. Okay, well, have a great day. Go enjoy that sunshine, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for Jenny's Tattletales today. I hope you have an absolutely splendid day, and I want to really thank you for joining me, and I hope to hear from you and see you next time.